All right. The man's name is Brad Stevens. He's in charge of the whole shebang over there in Boston with the Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Stevens, hello, sir.
Good morning, guys.
So we saw you hanging out with Bill Belichick during Game 2. What was that conversation like?
I've gotten a chance to know him pretty well over the years, and he's been nice enough to let me come down to several practices and some OTAs, and we've spent some time, at our games as well. Back, when I was coaching, he would, pop his head in before the game, and then a couple games this year, he's come up and, spent a quarter with us. It's really nice of him to do that. He had a number of his staff over there the other night watching the game, and so it was it's always good. Mostly small talk, but we'll occasionally get into some similarities between what we're doing and what they're doing, just from a structural and play standpoint. There are especially the way that they defend and the way they try to take away an opponent's play by disrupting it at the point of attack. Is something that I thought Milwaukee did a good job to us in game one, and we try to do and have always tried to do. And there are some offensive similarities, though not much, but mostly small talk, not about sports.
What is Bill Belichick's small talk like? What does he talk about when it's small talk?
He's a really good guy. I don't know what you guys, how well you know him or whatever, but just
not at all.
Very funny, obviously has great insights. A person that, you could sit and listen to talk about, building a cohesive group and everybody pulling in one direction and doing all of the things that lead to winning every day, all day. But, it's always been really good to me.
Did he tell you why he benched Malcolm Butler?
Like I said, always been really good to me. I don't have anything else to say. Well, I guess we've already talked about it longer than maybe he was in there. So hopefully we didn't go through everything.
Game two, you've obviously got to be pleased. That is just the best way to respond to a loss like you guys had in game one. And I think that, the legend of Ime Udoka continues to grow. I think that people were looking for adjustments. They sure enough got adjustments. One adjustment that was on the fly was that of the status of Marcus Smart. What do you know right now about Marcus and how he is feeling, and do you believe he'll be ready for game three?
Marcus was in the gym yesterday on an off day for the rest of our team, and got in some work in the weight room and looked like he had a little bit better bend. That was the thing. He had enough swelling in his quad that he didn't have, ideal ability to really get low and bend that knee. It looked like he was doing a little bit better yesterday. I don't know what he's going to be cleared to do in practice today, but, we'll see as the days go on. We're hopeful, but not certain.
All right, Brad, obviously Jason Tatum is the focus of any defense you guys play, and Milwaukee's been a very physical team with you through the first two games, but it seems like Tatum is absorbing a beating here in the first two games. Is there anything you can do to limit that as the series moves on? Because an accumulation of this is not going to be fun once you get into games 5, 6, and 7.
It's the playoffs. I think that's the bottom line. If you look around the league, all these games are like this. I've always thought the thing that nobody really talks about, obviously they talk about Milwaukee protecting the rim and the way that they, their size at the rim and everything else. But what they do is they really pressure the ball. They really, pick you up full. They get into your body. They're physical. And, if you beat them, you've got those, guys standing down there that are 7 foot plus that, are the best at protecting the rim. And so you have to play with great purpose. You have to own your space. You have to be able to, beat that initial wave, which is difficult to do because of how aggressive they are on the ball, and then play with the poise to make the right decision when the bigs come over to the rim. I mean, they just feast on teams that, you know, try to shoot through those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a layup against Milwaukee is not a real layup initially just because of the size. So you really have to get it. You have to get it in the paint. You have to make the next play. And we had some possessions where we did that really well the other night. We had some great possessions, but we also had some that, you know, we like to have back. And so there's room to improve for sure. But credit Milwaukee. They've done this, you know, every time that I've coached against them, certainly. And if you even go back to the Bulls series, I thought, you know, especially when LaVine went out, the amount of pressure they put on DeRozan up the court, you know, made him work for everything. And that's why you got to have different ways to get your best guys the ball, just because of the, you know, they'll pick you up and try to wear on you.
Well, one of the best things about game two was what we saw Grant Williams be able to do defensively, and I mean, obviously offensively as well. But I mean, Grant Williams, he's just a mystery. He's somebody that is just fascinating because it's tough to explain how a guy who is built like he is able to hold down guys the size of Giannis. We saw him do it to Jokic a couple of weeks ago as well. That was right before he came up with all of those nerdy nicknames for everyone because he was the Batman. But I mean, I guess I got to give you and Danny all the credit in the world because it just seems like traditionally he doesn't look like the type of guy that would be that good of a defender. Like, what did you guys see in him that led you to believe that he could become what he is now?
Well, I think one of the guys that people talk about around the league that has had a lot of success being a, you know, built like a linebacker and, but is, you know, those guys aren't small, you know, is PJ Tucker, right? So yeah. Like you have, and PJ's greatest leap came, because he was always an incredibly tough player and an incredibly tough defender, but his greatest leap came when he became, you know, at one point, the best corner three-point shooter in the league. So it's really like simplifying what makes you good. You know, I think that like if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to like say, okay, if we can break the game down into what I need to do to be successful, and I have the physicality that Grant has and the lateral mobility, and so he should be able to guard a lot of positions. I mean, he was in Toronto in the game. Or he was in the bubble in game seven on the court on our last defensive possession against Toronto. I mean, he's been this way for a long time. And then what he's done is he's worked really hard on his shot, you know, and so that's allowed him to not only continue to play and get better, but also play longer, you know, and in these games, if you struggle to make shots, you know, then it, especially if you're being guarded by Giannis or Durant or guys that can just roam that are 7 feet tall, you know, you've got to stretch them out. Otherwise, it's hard to play. And so, you know, credit to him for the work that he's put in, but also credit to him for, you know, realizing what makes him good, you know, and not trying to work on things that wouldn't necessarily translate or be applicable.
Now, how do you coach against a guy like Mike Budenholzer? Because he's obviously very smart. And I know that him and Ime obviously come from the same school of Popovich. So there's probably some similarities there. But, I mean, Ime essentially punked their game plan in game two.
This is a like high-level chess match.
Whereas in game one, Budenholzer came out with a plan that obviously was infuriating. I mean, you're watching the two of these guys go back and forth. How, as a coach, do you anticipate moves? And how tough is it to make adjustments against a guy who's as good as Budenholzer is?
And how do you coach a team to shoot 50% from three?
There you go. Shooting the ball going in sure helps, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. It's amazing what that can do.
It makes everything look good.
Yeah. Both those guys are really good coaches. You know, I think as you get into the series and it goes longer and longer, you know, obviously the tweaks become probably smaller, more pronounced, but like you're just trying to get game to game little advantages that, you know, or may give you an advantage here or there. And, you know, as I've said before, everybody in this league is a really good coach, and the staffs are loaded with really good coaches. Like, it's not just the head coaches, right? And so I think ultimately, you know, we have to, anytime you're going up in the NBA against these guys, you have to be quick to adjust. You have to be quick to tweak, but you also have to be able to play a fast game with a clear mind. So it's quite a balance of, you know, what's too much. You know, you just want to find what's exactly perfect and go from there. But both those guys are, Ime does a really good job with that. Our staff does a really good job with that. And then Bud and his staff have always been really good with that.
I know last time we talked to you, you know, we mentioned what Jaylen Brown was saying, you know, about his health. And is that something that you're still monitoring? How is he doing? He obviously looked great in game two, but, you know, he's continuing to mention it. It's still being mentioned. How are you guys monitoring that?
Yeah, I'm monitoring it closely. You know, I think that, you know, even after game one, I thought he was a little sore the next day. He played 38 minutes though, so that's to be expected. And then, you know, I thought, obviously I like you saw him reach for it a couple times, in game two. And so we've been in constant communication about making sure that we're going, about the next few days appropriately, with him, but yeah, all over it. But, you know, hopefully good to go as we continue through.
All right, Brad Stevens, good stuff, and congratulations on the win. As we look forward to Saturday, thank you so much for the time.
Yep, see you guys.
All right, see you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.